Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everyone.
I'm Brenda.
And I'm Julia. And you're listening to Roaring Twenties Podcast.
Your 20s are known as both the most exciting and most confusing years of your life. We're here to share our stories, to have real and raw conversations, and best of all, to make you feel a little less alone.
This podcast was brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. Do you believe?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Roaring Twenties Podcast.
Happy Monday, everyone. Missed ya.
Missed you guys. What a week.
What a week. All of the weeks are really morphing together. I have actually said the exact words "I miss quarantine" yesterday on my walk with my mom at the boardwalk.
We're still in somewhat of
quarantine. Like, we are. I think I miss the stillness. I miss, like, I didn't miss it in the moment. I actually hated quarantine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, like, I don't think I actually want it back. But there are aspects of it that I feel like we're all like, oh, life is back on for the most part. Let's hit the ground running. And it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting, but special. But, you know, we keep on trucking.
But special.
Like, I love to not be in quarantine because we get to see people that we love. But yeah, I'm also responsibly tired. Yeah, but I'm also a little sleepies, you know?
Yeah, I'm just sleepy all the time.
You're extra sleepy today, but it's still relevant.
I'm so sleepy today, guys. It's rough. We're going to talk about a lot of different things today. We're going to bounce kind of all over a little bit.
Yes, all over.
We have a lot of things to address. We're going to talk a little bit about, we have a really cool guest coming on Thursday.
Heck yeah. This Thursday, we have Lindsay Kite coming on the podcast. That's right, you heard it. Lindsay Kite from Beauty Redefined.
So cool.
Her and her sister Lexi Kite are incredibly intelligent, groundbreaking, dynamic women in the space of helping people heal all of these crazy societal norms we've been taught through media and standards and all this stuff when it comes to body image. And they actually teach a body image resilience course. They've done so many great things, been on TED Talks. You'll hear all about it on Thursday, but we get the honor of sitting down with Lindsay, and it's going to be a really special episode. It's different from some of the guests we've had on. We've totally talked about body image, but this one's a little bit different.
I'm so excited to talk to her because I think the way that they approach it is a little bit different than the guests we've talked to in the past. I'm just so excited to learn from her about this topic. And we haven't recorded with her yet, guys, so we're gonna learn with you, and we'll talk a little bit about being more than a body in this episode. And that's kind of their whole thing. It's about that you are more than just your body. And so go check out Beauty Redefined. We're really excited to learn from them. I'm sure you guys are gonna be too. And we'll talk a little bit about that towards the end of today's episode. And then we have a lot of other things to chat about.
So many things. So we'll bounce around, and that's that.
Me and Brenna sometimes purposefully don't tell each other things so that we can tell each other live on the podcast.
Yeah. So often you're hearing it for the first time.
And so are we.
So it's authentic as heck.
But before we get to all of that. Wow. What an
It's time for
Pride and Pickle!
Really interesting contrast between it's time for
Pride! I like to mix it up.
You do. It's like two different people.
I want to keep everyone on their toes.
No. Oh my gosh. It's like sexy Jessica Rabbit and then meets the mayor of Whoville.
I am the mayor of Whoville.
So we love that.
You got to change it up. We can't just be one dimensional. It can't be one note.
No.
What kind of fun is that? None. I didn't even tell you this. I taught a podcast workshop last night.
You did? Yeah. Wait, I did see Heidi Tulchin post something about.
No, I don't think she posted
episode
about it.
Six. Of something, of some podcast. Maybe you were a guest on something.
I did a podcast that was a scripted podcast.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah, okay. So you taught a podcast. Tell me about
that. I taught a podcast workshop yesterday.
Oh, please, lab.
I'm glad I told you. Also, that banging that you hear in the background is ghost throwing around a bone.
That's what I was like, does she have a nervous tap, Julia? Is she okay?
No, she's just literally throwing from the
bone.
No,
I thought you had a nervous tap.
No, it's not me. It's a ghost.
Okay, tell me about it.
The thing I was going to say about it is that people love the Pride and Pickle.
Really?
They don't like a pre-recorded. The people like the Pride and the Pickle.
The people you taught.
It's a thing now. It's a thing. The people I taught, they love it.
Okay, so the people that were inexperienced, that were listening to advice.
Yeah, they love it. They love it.
Oh, that's awesome,
it's
Drew.
Our thing now.
I'm so proud of you. That's thank awesome. You. Go ghosty, go ghosty.
Go ghosty. Okay, Brenna.
No, do you want to elaborate? Is that all you
got
to share?
That's all I got.
Oh, okay, okay. So on that note, my pride is that I'm not going to have this podcast as my pride all the time, I promise. But the reason why is because my younger brother, Victor, said he's like, I was like, oh, I'm so tired. And I said this the other day. And he was like, I mean, don't you just like talk for an hour a week or 2 hours a week? And I was like, actually, and I sent him 500. I'm not even kidding. I wish I would scroll
like
through.
All your emails?
I sent him everything. I'm like, please look at this, 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 and this. This was all today. I'm like, look at this. Look, we designed this. Look at this. Look at our website. And I'm proud of that because we just have a lot of good shit going on right here.
People think it's easy and it's
not. No, it's not. I actually wrote up
also
our
coming
LinkedIn.
Up things to talk about. Yeah. Every week, not super easy.
Not super easy. Quick shout out to Ellie, my new friend. She said that like I have a new friend named Ellie, and she mentioned to me, she's like, "You guys have a great." This is not like the compliment Brendan and Julia episode, by the way. This is just like interesting to me because
we
don't think about it.
Ourselves.
We love to fish for a compliment. We do, but
we're gonna talk about that too.
Oh, we are.
I'm
oh
really
want to
talk about
that's
that.
Really
actually,
good.
Yeah,
yeah. Please don't forget.
Just hold on, everybody.
Just
hold on,
please. While the Nextel subscriber you're trying to reach is located, and she said that we have really great beyond our chemistry, like really great podcast voices. And I never thought about it. I was like, you know what, in the same way that like someone's singing voice or someone's acting voice or speaking when they're giving a presentation, like that really is important. And you don't really I personally never think about that.
I mean, I do make most of my money off of my voice.
You do
so.
Off of your fabulous voice. Maybe I should start selling my voice to the world.
You should. But I used to hate listening to my I used to think
really?
That the sound of my voice was disgusting.
How has that shifted for you? Tell us.
I think people just told me I was good at it and I eventually started believing it.
Interesting. Hello, repetition. Hello, listening to people around
you. You know, I used to, whenever I would hear like recorded performances of myself, I would literally like have to shut it off. I would be so cringed by the sound of my voice. But then like people over and over told me that my voice is good. And then I guess I just started believing it, like listen to the universe, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And here's what's interesting to me.
Also, I think I'm just like immune to it now because I listen
because you've done it so
I have to edit
times.
All our episodes and I have to edit my voiceover work and it like I just have
and
to
you're
listen
an actor.
To it all day.
You're an actor, sugar. Cool.
Wow.
We have like a lot of weird voices.
What is happening?
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I do want you to finish my thought, but I would just like to let
what
you know that
it,
my mom
it?
Said that she loved my French accent and
did
it made
she?
Her laugh.
Oh,
so,
Kayleen loved it too.
Yeah, we got comments.
Here's the thing. Everybody thinks that I was like bullying you, man.
You
a big old bitch, but the reality is that wasn't the case. It's that we were having a conversation and I couldn't focus because you kept going into another character. Like it was so long. That's the key that people don't understand.
Like the French accent. The people
transformed into another character.
The people are asking and I will provide.
Okay. All right.
They ask, I provide. She is here, everybody. Do not worry. We are going to France. Do not worry.
I am so dead. All right, everybody. You asked for it and
you have
it.
What was your other thought?
With my history as a singer, you know me and my singing. This is the weirdest episode ever.
Everybody's going to shut us off.
You're right. Okay, let me. No, but in all seriousness, I feel like listening to like songs you recorded or performances or stuff like that used to be really cringy, but and I always used to be like, oh, this person has a good voice, or but sometimes people say people have a bad voice, but I never thought about it in terms of a speaking voice.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me.
I think you know what's hilarious is like how we go from 1 second to be like we're working so hard, we're doing so great, fishing for compliments, and then the next second we're like everybody's shutting us off.
You know what, you're so right.
You just have a little balance in your life.
Balance.
You can like compliment yourself and also self-deprecate.
Yeah, but you know what? We always bring it back to the love,
bring
baby.
Bring it back to the love.
Bring it back.
Where is the love?
Okay.
You can go and shut us off now.
Am I on my pickle yet?
Yeah, it's pickle time.
It's pickle time. Okay, so my pickle this week is I spent $150 on a set from Balance Athletica and like grateful because it's really fucking cute. Hope it fits the way that I think it might. But like, F me because financially focused was here and I'm just failing.
Kelly's just trying to bury her bone with the carpet. I'm so sorry to interrupt your pickle.
No,
that
was
trying
that.
To bury
I've
her
just
bone.
I'm just not financially focused, I guess. Oh my god, her little nose is squeaking. Ghost, that's not dirt,
that's
honey.
Not gonna happen.
hi, that's not dirt.
Okay, she gave up. Bye. She realized it's not working. Bye. You know, pivot. When something's not working, you pivot. You pivot. Always taking lessons. But anyway,
when you
sorry.
Said pivot, I felt like going.
Oh, a clap?
Double clap.
Okay.
Okay.
I think of that Friends episode where they're like, pivot, pivot.
I wish I knew what you're talking
about.
You
don't watch Friends.
Honestly, I've seen it only once through all the way.
Really sad.
But I have amnesia when it comes to shows. You should know
this. That is so true. That's literal amnesia.
It's so weird. I could watch anything. I've probably told this story before. I watched Taken, some number of it. I don't know. And we got like maybe a quarter of a way through the movie. And I was like, oh my God, I remember a red bikini and a jean jacket. I think we've seen this before. And he was like, that's what you remember? Yeah, we've seen this then. Anyway,
time I'm for you, so sugar. Sorry. No, well, we didn't finish talking about your spending habits. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. I thought we were going to, you know, snumble past that.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't really want to acknowledge it too much. Okay, fine. She'll pay it off later. Allie's not going to be
She's not going to be happy. It was so unnecessary. Whatever.
Treat yourself. See, this is why we're bad at saving.
This is the issue. This is why. I treat myself every single day to something.
This is why we're bad at saving, Allie. Please come back and help
us. Back for part two.
We need to be held accountable. Did you make your budget sheet?
No.
Did you make your separate savings accounts on Ally?
No.
This is why you're spending. It's your own dang fault.
It is.
If you just take Ally's tips. Got a new pimple.
A new one? Hey, no. Buddy. Love the Kiehl's Midnight Recovery Serum. I think you'd like it.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
It's good.
But if you just take Allie's tips, you might be better off.
I know. You're right. It feels hard. I know it's not, but it feels it.
It's not.
And now on to you, Julia.
Okay. Yeah. My pride this week is, I'm really late to the game on this, but I just like Love Island brings me so much joy.
You are late.
I'm so late to the game. People have been watching Love Island for way too long. I'm watching the British version because I love their terms. No. Oh. I mean, I do love the accent, but I love the terms. I love a British term. They have so many good ones.
Can you name one?
Yeah, there's like, they call everyone a geezer all the time.
A geezer?
Yeah, I had to ask like someone to explain that to me. Yeah, a geezer. And it's like a frat boy.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't understand what it meant either, but then someone explained it to me and now I understand. They're always like, oh, you fancy him? Like, yeah, I proper fancy him. That means, like, you're into it. Not that you don't like him yet, but you're into it. You know, you're interested. You fancy him. And then there's, like, oh, he's proper fit. He's fit. It's like
fit for you?
Like, no, it's attractive.
Oh.
Yeah, there's all different terms. I really like this show.
Oh, we've transitioned to a new one, ladies and gentlemen.
No, British. Yeah. I just really love Love Island UK. There's so many good
Interesting.
Terms.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never watched. I'm currently obsessed with Dancing with the Stars.
It's so weird. I really don't like that show.
I know. I just really do. I have so many thoughts. But another time, Caitlin Bristow is really freaking good. That you have to watch. I think you'd actually appreciate it. She was a dancer in the past. She's incredible. Like, I'll show you later.
Oh, we'll have to look at the YouTube videos. Anyway, if you just like need a pickup, if your life is feeling like kind of bleh, like just go watch Love Island UK. You're gonna hear a lot of fun terms. The show is ridiculous, very entertaining and addicting. I watch it at night before I go to bed.
Heck yeah.
So that it's like the way to turn my brain off. Otherwise my brain doesn't turn off and I've not been sleeping good. But this is my pickle that not been sleeping good because I'm just very, very stressed about my project that I'm shooting this weekend, which I'm very excited for, but like the leading up to it is extremely stressful, getting all the pieces in order. So I haven't been sleeping well, but the only way I turn my brain off, because otherwise I get into bed and then I'm just like thinking.
Yep.
Love Island a little bit distracts me.
Amazing. That's
so, yeah,
a good tip.
So that's a pride and a pickle all in one.
A pride and a pickle wrapped up in a little blanket.
Wrapped up in a little blanket bun. Quick break. You know, we're in our 20s. We're starting to worry a little bit about fine lines and wrinkles. At least I am. I don't know about you. Luckily, that's where Plexiderm comes in. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of change. It visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes, and the results will last for hours. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit tryplexiderm.com and use the code BELIEVE. Again, that's tryplexiderm.com and use the code BELIEVE, BLEAV, at checkout. Share it with your aunt, share it with your mom. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Now back to the show. So Brenda, I want to hear, you left me a Marco Polo.
And you were like, Julia, I was a crazy bitch. And I need to know.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't tell you anything about this. I'm going to, how do I share? I'll just see what comes out. So I think this leads into a few different things that might be productive for our episode. But so on Friday, I was with Chris and all of a sudden, okay. So I fell asleep sort of early at his house. I was tired. It was Friday night and I was really tired. So I fell asleep early while we were watching Breaking Bad. And normally if I fall asleep, like obviously he doesn't care. He just like does his own thing and like lets me sleep. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I like woke up like kind of cranky and he woke me up and he
in
was
the
like,
morning or like,
no, at night. So we were on the futon and then nap. Yeah, I like fell asleep early on the futon while watching the show.
Who doesn't wake up cranky from a nap?
Yeah. So, but like it was nighttime. Like let's say I fell asleep at like 10:30 p.m. Right? And then he wakes me up around midnight and he's like, hey, like let's go to the bed. Like so you can actually sleep comfortably. And he's like, don't forget to brush your teeth. Like he's like literally so sweet and kind and gentle. And of course, because I was already asleep and then just woke up to brush my teeth, like he assumed we were gonna both go to sleep. So disclaimer for anybody who does not want to hear about anything sexual, turn it off. But we are used to having sex at night, right? Mm-hmm. That's like our used to thing. Because we don't normally have sleepovers, so like in the morning is not an option. Okay. So then for some reason we get into his bed and like I'm awake at that point because I was woken up very kindly, and then of course he assumes we're going to sleep and we're having a sleepover, and then I like go to like try and initiate something and he goes and he gets scared. <You're> scared. And because I literally simply went to, I put my hand on his hand. And like he like jumps a little, and I for some reason misinterpreted that as a rejection of sorts. And
was he just like kind of sleeping? And he was literally asleep.
But let me just explain this to you. So I didn't know he was asleep because the lights were already off. So
you just literally frightened him.
I like actually frightened him. He asked me, he's like, "Are you okay?" And I for some reason ignored that he said that. I turned around and I said, "Ugh." And I said, I feel like it's on, things are on your own schedule. And he was like, what? Like, he was so confused.
Crazy bitch.
And in my head, I'm like, this is so annoying. How could I ever initiate things if like, I'm just going to be rejected.
Yeah.
And then actually like I'm being silly right now, but like in the moment, I was offended to an extent. I felt sad. I was like, I'm never going to initiate again.
Being rejected is horrid.
Yeah. And then I'm like, it's because like he thinks I'm fat, which listen, right. I hate that thought went through my head, but like it's the reality. I'm being honest with you guys. And just so many different things. It was in a spiral. Then he's like, are you okay? Again. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I just feel like things are on your own schedule. I said it again. And he was like, he's so confused. And to me, he's like, what? I'm just sleeping. Oh. And I'm like, see, when I want to talk about something, you just make an excuse.
We've all been there,
and he's
Brenda.
Like, wait, I'm what? Like he was literally so lost. So then I go be a crazy bitch and I go onto his futon. And this was really not to be rude, but I actually tried to like, I was like, okay. And I'm proud of myself for doing this, but he took it the wrong way.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me go to the futon. Like, let me, like, actually collect my thoughts. Let me write something down so that I can, say this
reflect
to Julia.
Yeah.
And, like, is this really about him at all or is it about me? Then I go, then he, like, gets up because I was there for a while. And I'm not even kidding. I was, like, deep breathing, blah, blah, blah. And he comes and he's like, what's going on? Like, you're on the futon. I'm so confused. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I thought something different and this was all totally about me. And, like, I really am sorry. And I just felt crazy because I'm like, oh my god, he was really asleep. Like
he was asleep. He was really asleep. You really did just frighten him and he was tired. But I totally understand that
But
feeling.
There's more to that, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
I totally understand that feeling. And like that happens. Like being rejected is horrible. But the truth is like sometimes people like are just like tired. Like it has nothing to do
it
with
has nothing
you.
To do with
and
you.
Like people are literally just tired. But also like, you know, it hurts either way. Even if you can be really logical about it and you're like, they're tired. It's not that I'm hideous. Like,
yeah.
But it still can get to you.
No, 100%. And even though, yes, it's funny that, like, he was actually asleep, so the situation was different. I was being a little silly. If he hadn't been, like, that under the assumption that he wasn't, like, I was extremely offended because it takes a toll on us. Like, I feel like it's this almost, like, confident. It's like this test for our confidence to an extent to be like, oh, this person wants me or they don't.
Mm.
And it's really fascinating. And along with that comes like the whole chasing piece. And I think that whenever not that this happens often, but in moments where I've been upset, especially in a romantic relationship of any sorts, I find no matter how long we've been together, like this desire to want to be chased.
Of course.
Because of course we want to be wanted. And yeah. I think it just brings up so many fascinating things.
That's just a normal human thing. Like people want to be wanted. Even if you've been with someone for 9 years, you still want to feel wanted. Like in any aspect of your life, in relationships, in friendships, in totally. Work, like people want to feel wanted. I don't think that that's like a feeling that people shouldn't have.
No, for sure. And like, I think I know that logically, but then in some circumstances, I'm like, wait, but he shows this in so many different ways. Why does it show up here? Mm. And I think in particular, when it comes to like intimacy and stuff like that, because at times, although the women from Beauty Redefined will tell you otherwise, that anybody can have a healthy and happy sex life regardless of what you look like, because it's not about your body at all. It's about the experience, and mm-hmm. every single person on this planet deserves the experience. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes I get in my own head because I relate it to how I look.
Totally. And, well, I think that's yeah. just like something that's super most ingrained people. In us. Like, yeah. you know, and that's what I'm excited to talk with Lindsay from Beauty mm-hmm. Redefined, because that is something that they talk about a lot. And it's true. When you think about it, it's true. Like sex yeah. is not about the way that you're butt looks or your abs look or what your boobs look. Sex is about connection and about an experience. And yeah. we're just so conditioned, though, especially as women, to think about so much of it in relation to how we look, how our bodies yeah. look. And at the end of the day, like, that's not what it's about.
It's not.
But we're just really so conditioned not. To think that. And I'm so excited to talk to them about it and like really kind of unpack that and mm-hmm. learn about that, because like, yes, I can, I know that, but it's also like, we're just so used to, when we think about sex, we think about the way our body looks. Like that's definitely. Ingrained in us. It's what we do. Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited to learn about it. And it would be interesting if like when you're going into that experience that you're not thinking about that, you're thinking about connection, you're thinking about experience, you're thinking about the other person.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's honestly hard for me, even though it seems like it's effortlessly coming out, it's hard for me to admit that I still have those thoughts sometimes mm-hmm. because I want to be able to say to everyone, oh, I've mastered this, and I never have moments where I'm uncomfortable in my skin, or like attribute certain things to that. But sometimes certain thoughts can come up, even if they're momentary. Like I'm sharing this whole long, way too long story with you guys right now.
No,
but
I
like,
think it's really important. But I think it's really relevant okay, to I'm what really we're going to be talking about on Thursday with
okay.
Lindsay.
Okay, that actually makes me feel great. But this whole thing lasted like less than 10 minutes probably. Mm. And also kind of going off of that, the whole shame spiral type of thing, or even thought spiral, mm. I think happens to us fairly, I guess not consistently, but it happens.
Oh, no. I do a shame thought spiral like all the time.
But how interesting, like literally one thought or one moment can trigger like all of these different things. Yeah. And then when you take a step back, you're like, holy shit.
You're like, whoa. Yeah.
Like when I went on the futon to literally, I'm not even kidding, recap, okay, what did I think here? How did that start? I could not believe the amount of different thoughts that came out of one another mm-hmm. in less than 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Five.
But how awesome that you like stepped away and like reflected before you reacted.
Yeah. And like, I guess in his opinion, I probably did react by moving away, right. but well, I really was separating myself from the situation. Yeah. And like something that really amazes me that I struggle with, and I know you have shared that you do too, is after I was like, oh, like I'm really sorry, I misunderstood, and this is honestly more about me than it is about you. Because even if there was a rejection, like it's not as, based on all of these other examples, like it's not as deep as I would have made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And even though I did like apologize and all of that stuff, because it was so more about me than it was about him, he was like, okay, like, all right, love you, good night, like the, and that's it. And mm-hmm. his ability to let things go,
he's so good,
fascinates
like
me. Yeah. Because I can't let things go, and I let that go really well. I'm very proud of myself.
Very proud.
But like, I would like to know more about how people let things go and just turn the page, and how
that's like a whole episode. I think we need to find someone to teach us about that.
To teach us that, right?
How to just let shit go.
How do you let shit go? And for us people who don't let shit go easily, how do we trust that other people actually do?
Actually, I think I'm okay at that.
Yeah? I'm better than I was?
No.
You're good at that?
I don't know.
I guess it's circumstantial, because in that moment, I really believed that he let it go.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and I think maybe women in their 20s can relate to this, it's like, oh shit, well now I created a whole other problem, or
oh yeah. Right? I've been down that spiral before, right? Like you think like you had the actual problem, and then you think about that you made a problem about the problem.
Yep. And then it's like, oh well, if they weren't gonna leave me then, they're, or whatever, like if some, then now I've really caused something, or I've really shown this bad side of myself, or, you know, now they're going to think I'm annoying. Like, what's that about?
We're just going down the rabbit hole of Brenda's thought processes.
Yeah. And
hey, we all do it.
We do. But I think a lot of, I don't know, hopefully people will more than anything be like, oh, I've had that thought once in my life, or many.
Or many. But yeah, I'm really interested about just how we can so easily like make a situation about some like ourselves.
Yep.
And especially when it's related to like a body thing, I think a lot of times, you know, we do that. And with Lindsay on Thursday, I'm excited to talk about like their whole belief around that, because like one of the things that they post a lot is like you're more than a body, and that your body is an instrument and not an ornament. Yes. And I just love that.
I really do love that, because it's not the way that we think. Like, I love that they talk about us being a whole person, whereas we often view ourselves as pieces, right? Like, we view ourselves as, oh, these pimples. We view ourselves as our boobs being too saggy, or our boobs being too small, or our butts having cellulite or not being big enough. Or, like, we view ourselves as these parts and pieces when we are really a whole person, and like we bring so much more to the table than those things, but that's what we pick out. And it's just, I think that the world, every aspect, whether you're just starting to learn more about this space or not, or whether you've been on the journey forever, like I continue to be so fascinated by the things that these women have to share, because it's just different. And because
like also like if you were to have if you were to have been in a mindset where your body is out of the equation, like that encounter may have never happened, because you wouldn't have gone to the immediate thought of like, he doesn't want to have sex with me because of my body, which was your immediate thought, and which is why you got upset. But like, imagine if your mind was so evolved past that like it was never, he doesn't want to have sex with me because of my body. It was just simply, he doesn't want to have sex with me because he's tired.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like how that takes like that whole debacle out of the equation. If we can start evolving our minds into this thinking of that we are an instrument and not an ornament.
Yeah, but I'm going to, I guess, play devil's advocate on even that statement. Uh-huh. And maybe that means our minds can continue to get more evolved beyond that. But even the idea of, like, someone being tired, I feel like can sometimes be offensive. Even that, like, oh, like, my presence or my energy, like, isn't enough to excite you regardless of the state you're in. Meanwhile, I don't know about you, but if the roles were reversed, I feel like it's more, quote-unquote, okay for women to be tired. Do you feel that?
Right, well, we talked about that with Dr. Holly, right? Yeah. That, like, there's, like, this, like, thing that like we believe societally that like men want it all the time, and if they don't, I mean, that it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Holly was like, literally, like, no, like everybody just gets tired, like, you know, people just are stressed, people just have shit going on. Like, that's such a made up concept that society teaches women, that like men want it all the time, and that's not fair to men. Like, imagine being a man and needing to live up to that standard of wanting it all the time. Sometimes you're fucking tired, sometimes you had a really stressful day and you just want to lay on the couch, like, you know, that's not a fair thing to believe for men or women.
No,
you know,
it's really not. Yeah,
and people are people. Like, people have stuff going on.
Totally. And to put so much of our worth into something like that. Like, I know even the next morning when we woke up and things occurred, like, I felt so deeply validated by that. And although, yes, we want to feel wanted, like, I also don't want to tie. Not that I think I do, but I guess I'm just bringing up another layer of it, that like we tie our worth to a lot of things when sometimes like it can really be circumstantial. It doesn't, like, of course I know that this person wants me, but it's interesting how sometimes when we get, like, when we're not in the thinking of our highest selves, like, so many different things can shake our beliefs, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's really, I don't know, it's very,
we can so easily go down that spiral of it's me, or I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough, and we can so be triggered one way or another based on another person's like response or energy or attention. And I think the work is like how to know that like you as you are is enough, and like validation or not validation from someone else doesn't define that or change that. And that when you can be so like strong in that without being wavered by outside forces, like that's even kind of, we're talking about that in kind of a way of like body image or relation to self, but that's stoicism. I mean, we talk about stoicism all the time. It's like you cannot control the world around you. You can only control yourself and your thoughts and your mind.
And your reaction. Was it this very recently?
What?
I think that something about that was said very recently.
Oh, I don't remember. But that is the basis of Stoicism itself, of like, you study and you practice Stoicism so that you are so unwavered by the world around you, because your mind is so strong and your belief in your mind is so strong that no matter what happens around you, you are unwavered, you are unaffected.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's interesting to like tie all this back to like a practice that we kind of so deeply believe in and practice. And it's funny, we don't associate them, but they're actually exactly the same.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that's why vulnerability, and we'll say it probably endless times until you believe us, or maybe you'll enjoy it so much because you do believe us, it's just so, so powerful, because it's hard for me. It's honestly difficult for me to share that those are thoughts that I still have, because I'm like, shit, like there are people that are gonna think I should be past this. But there are so many people in the world that aren't past it, no matter how much work they've done, because it's so deeply ingrained in us, like you said. So I was telling Julia before, kind of along with that, that the reason why vulnerability is extra important, especially in a time like this where our world can feel a little bit divided, or although I hope are making some progress, that it can still be hard, is because when you look at someone on the surface, and we talk about body image and external and all that stuff a lot, like when you look at someone just from the outside, you don't know shit about them. Mm-hmm. Like you literally don't know anything. Mm-hmm. We'll see a body of sorts. It might be a certain color. It might be like, you might notice their hair, a certain size. Their hair might gender look a certain expression. Way. Like there, that's, but like that in itself isn't even enough by any means. And right,
that's nothing.
It's like, nothing. It's literally nothing. And we are drawn to people that we believe are similar to us. Why? Because we want to belong, we want to connect. So if all we see is people like on the surface, then it's vulnerability is an extra door for us to connect with others beyond people that quote unquote look like us. Mm-hmm. And although, like something, for example, I was telling Julia, I'm so drawn to taking this woman's class in the Peloton app because I feel like she looks like me. So my immediate assumption is, oh, well, then her experiences are going to be similar to mine.
Right. She looks like me, so we're going to connect in some way.
We're going to connect in some way.
Her experience is going to be similar to mine.
What she has to share.
That's very interesting. Yep. Yeah.
What she has to share is going to maybe be relatable to me because maybe we've had similar experiences. And I'm certain that a Black woman probably will be more likely to take a class of or whatever we want to say, but as an example, a class of another Black woman, mm-hmm. because they will assume that they get
have
them
some sort of shared
have
experience.
Some sort of shared yeah. experience yeah. Exactly. I'm scared of sounding ignorant, but I'm trying to make
as like a Jewish woman, I gravitate towards, you know, listening to content by other Jewish women because yeah. we have something in common, we relate, and
right.
you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with that.
No, but that's the reality of, I guess, the point that we try to make is by being vulnerable and sharing more right. about
you
what's on the inside,
all of that.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then you find more shared experiences
right.
through the authenticity that
right.
you share.
Right off the surface, you might assume you have shared experiences with someone that looks like you or has the same cultural background as you. And yes, that can be very true, but also you can have shared experiences with someone of a completely different cultural background or someone who looks the complete opposite of you.
Yeah.
And by being vulnerable, you open those doors to connect not just with the people who look like you, which is great, connect with those people too, but to connect with the people that don't look like you.
Definitely. And we'll absolutely have more conversations in terms of like race and all that stuff moving forward, because there's just no shot we'll scratch as much as we want to in this episode.
Yeah.
But something beyond like what you just said is, yes, looking at someone, there might be a shared experience. You can look at someone and also get the wrong idea. So
totally.
Something that kind of works with like Beauty Redefined is people do look at someone and make a judgment of sorts.
Right.
But that's
just so how we're conditioned.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. But it could be so wrong. And the best example I can think of is in a socially quote unquote acceptable body, in the most general terms possible, is normally someone in a smaller frame, right? And you can look at them and be like, oh my gosh, they're so healthy and fit, although health and weight are not tied, right? There are other factors in between, but you can look at someone and think that. However, you could totally not know, one, they could struggle with an eating disorder, and it could not be the one you think. It could mm-hmm. be binge eating. Mm-hmm. They could also maybe exist in a smaller body, but maybe they're not getting their period. They could be struggling with something mental health. You can't really see mental health struggles or anything like that. So it's so fascinating that we do tie a lot to how people look.
Yeah.
When
you really
there's
don't
not that
know.
Much you can gather. Yeah. And then it makes you know, then we draw all these assumptions about ourselves because we're constantly comparing when it's not really the right narrative.
I mean, I think there's a lot of unlearning that we all have to do when it comes to when it comes to that. Did you listen to Sonya Renee Taylor on Brene Brown?
No.
The body's not an apology.
Oh, yes, I did. I did. I sent
you
that.
Yeah, I think you sent it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one, everybody should go listen to that episode because they talk about like a similar topic about what we're just talking about. She's just brilliant, Sonya.
Oh, my gosh.
And I could never like re-say what she said because she's so
well spoken,
so brilliant. I just there's no way that I could re-say what she said and do it any justice. But one of the things that like really stood out to me on like a very simple level is that she's like, people, society has built this system that benefits people of a certain look, and we're the only like group that does this because, you know, it sets up some sort of benefit system. But like, she was talking about how like so many different dogs, and all these dogs look different. Like, some dogs are white, some dogs are black, some dogs are brown, some dogs are able-bodied, some dogs are not able-bodied, some dogs are big, some dogs are small, like some dogs are, you know. And we want all different kinds of dogs. Like, we as people don't want all the dogs to look the same, and we don't put dogs on a hierarchy based on how they look. Like, a three-legged tiny dog is just as loved and wanted as a four-legged huge dog. And it's like so interesting, like how we want all these, we look at diversity in dogs as like this incredible, beautiful, amazing human's best friend thing, but we look at diversity in people as a bad thing, as a shameful thing, as a hierarchy. And it's that like just blew my mind in such like simple terms of like how do people not see that we should all just like be like the doggies, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think the most fascinating part,
like, boring if we just all had brown pugs. Yeah. I love a brown pug.
Cutie patootie.
Great,
but
dog.
Like, we love to see,
but
a
like,
dog.
I don't want just brown pugs walking around the world. The world is so much more exciting when there's brown pugs and black labs and white pomskies and
shout out
three-legged Aussies, and you know, like,
yeah, no, for sure. But the fascinating thing about that too is she talked about like the stairs or something, and she said it so well, and I could never
the ladder. Yeah. Yeah,
that's, I can't reframe that. So please listen to the episode. But the interesting part about that too is that it's automatic, right? Like, a lot of these biases are automatic. That's how deeply ingrained they are in us when it comes to humans, is what I mean. Whereas there's something automatic about the way we view dogs and their diversity, right? And it's not like something we have to think about or whatever. It's just the way it is.
Right. Well, it's ingrained because, well, like, let's say if like 300 years ago, people decided that like we were only going to have brown pugs here, and that was what people did, and people shamed all the other dogs and put all the other dogs on a level beneath the brown pugs, then you know, we would have that automatic bias about brown pugs versus other dogs.
I don't know why brown pug is like the one I'm going for, but
you know, it's a system. It was built that way. And just like we could have built it about dogs that way, we didn't, because actually that is kind of boring.
Yeah.
And not
as
beautiful.
It's so interesting. Oh, this reminds me of something else from the episode. There's no shot I'm going to be able to say. Maybe you will. You know when she talked about acceptance, and she talked about the, I think it was shepherd's pie or something like that.
Oh, the gravy.
Yeah, she's talking, like, because we talk about being at peace, right? And being, we talked about it last week, being at peace with where you are and acceptance and all this stuff. And the way that she reframed it, she was like, let's go beyond acceptance. Like,
She shared a story about how, like, her mom would feed, as a kid, feed them, like, shepherd's pie. This is Sonia's story. This is not our story. How she would feed them shepherd's pie and, like, they would eat it because that's what they were given and they had to eat it. But like, you don't want to go your whole life just eating the shepherd's pie. You want things that are yummier than the shepherd's pie. Like, yeah, you can just accept the shepherd's pie, but why just accept the shepherd's pie when there's, you know, pasta and cheese and prosciutto and Chinese food and green. I don't know, like, ice cream, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I loved that story. Yeah,
I loved it too. It was just, it was so,
like, we can go beyond
well
just accepting
done.
Our body. And it was in the purpose of relating to, like, you don't just have to, like, accept your body. Like,
yeah,
you can celebrate it as, like, who you are. And it's not about the body. It's not about the way you look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so powerful, you guys. We can't recommend you going to check out that episode anymore. Obviously, Brene Brown has endless wisdom moments, moments of
and
wisdom.
And I think Sonya's message is quite similar to the Beauty Redefined message.
Yeah.
Because it's not about your body. Hers is more about kind of like systematic, you know, why we're that way, which is like, I think, a great place to start understanding it. Because like before I listened to her episode, I just didn't think about it that way. And it totally reframed my thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely. It seems, I haven't read the book, obviously, when we listened to the episode, but it seems like something that is exceptionally difficult and like challenges your thinking and your insight and challenges what you know now to what you can know. Because even someone like Dr. Brené Brown was like, I read the introduction and I had to close it because I was uncomfortable with this. So that's how you know it's important to read. So hopefully we'll get that on our list soon too.
Yeah, I'm just so excited to learn from Lindsay on Thursday. This episode's a little all over the place.
All over.
But I feel like it's all kind of related to this thing of like how much the way we view our bodies or other people's bodies influence our thinking and our behavior, and like, can we evolve beyond that?
Yeah, because when we do, if we do, which we should and we can, so much can change. And it just allows us to actually live our lives as opposed to getting stuck.
Because we're an instrument, not an ornament.
We are not an ornament, baby.
I'm very excited to learn something.
Same.
This is something
we're going
to
learn so much.
Yay. All right. That's all we got for today. I hope you guys have been checking out the new merch.
Ooh!
It's real cute. It's
so
real
cute.
Cozy. I highly recommend you can now shop right directly from our Instagram.
Heck yeah.
Go ahead, check it out. Post if you're posing in it. We would love to see you.
Oh yeah.
And we hope you guys have a super happy week and are looking forward to Thursday.
Yes. Love you guys. Have the best week.
Have the best week ever.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Roaring 20s Podcast. Be sure to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts, and please subscribe. You're never alone. Our pride sticks together.
Tune in every Monday and Thursday for new episodes of Roaring 20s Podcast.
You get to start your week with us and end your week with us.
With love, Brenda and Julia.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.